Good morning, everyone. We're going to convene for the morning and get going with Representative Junkie's bill. Before we do that, is there Representative Mason moves the minutes from February 22nd. Any discussion?
About February
26th. I'm sorry. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Minutes are approved. Representative Junkie, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 3097 before the committee.
All right, Representative Junkie moves that House File 3097 be recommended pass to the Commerce and Labor Committee.
First, I'll, Mr. Chair, explain the bill and then take questions on that, and then I have two amendments that we'll throw out here and see what the committee thinks. House File 3097 is real simple. We used to have this provision, but I think it got sunset, and I'll certainly have, I think, Kathy Klukas come down or someone who's helping out or brought this to me as I speak. But basically, when people build apartments, that we've had opportunities, or we've seen in the past spotty examples of where a building owner or landlord may have an agreement with a particular carrier. So they may sign up with one cable company or one phone carrier to provide the lines coming into the building and then give them exclusive rights to all the apartments. Well, as we know, when you rent an apartment, you're an individual and you have your own bundle of rights in that apartment building. And certainly if you want a different cable provider or a different phone provider or something else, you certainly should be allowed to do that and not fenced out by an apartment owner who maybe cut a side deal to make some money with a single provider. So that's what this bill basically provides. It's fairly simple, but I'd ask our testifiers to come down and talk about a little more of the history maybe on it.
Very good.
There she is. I gave the first grade explanation, and she can give you more detail.
All right, welcome. And then if you'd just identify yourself, please, and go ahead.
Good morning, Chair Johnson, members. My name is Kathy Klukas, and I work for CenturyLink. It's a telecommunications company provider in Minnesota, and I'm also here representing the Minnesota Telephone Alliance, of which my company is a member. The Minnesota Telephone Company Alliance is supporting this language. It is replicating language that indeed did sunset, excuse me, in 2004. And it was originally introduced to provide exactly what Representative Junkie was alluding to allow the tenant, be they residential or business, to have the ability to select their provider, regardless of, you know, what the rest of the building may be served for. If it allows them to have access to any provider that provides service in that area. After that language sunset, we're finding the necessity of asking you to consider language to reinstate that. The language was crafted to be virtually identical to the pre-existing language. And really the only change in there is that it allows, originally when this was introduced, it allowed really just for voice services. Things have changed in the intervening decades. And now we're also, you know, alluding to cable television services, video services in that respect, and in broadband services in addition to voice.
That's good.
But it's there to protect tenant rights.
And that's the bill, Mr. Chair. If you have any questions to the bill, I'd ask you to ask it now. And then I have two amendments that are not necessarily right to this bill, but to other peripheral topics.
Members, questions to the bill?
Okay. All right, thank you. Mr. Chair, at this time I'd offer the A1 amendment. Mm-hmm. And I'll get Mr. Young down here to explain that.
Very good. Representative Junkie moves the A1 amendment. Any discussion? Yeah. Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Maybe you should have. Aye. Oh, okay, well then it's passed. We don't need you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. A2 amendment.
Oh, I will get testimony first. Right. Go ahead, Mr. Young. Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. For the record, my name is Randy Young, and I'm with the Minnesota Telecom Alliance. This amendment does some clarification to language that you passed last year. Back in 2004, the legislature passed legislation that would allow for in competitive areas, which at that time was basically the Twin Cities, Rochester, St. Cloud, and Duluth, telephone companies to deregulate their pricing for business services of four lines or more. Over a 4 or 5 year period, that was very successful, and last year you expanded that regulatory flexibility statewide. When it was passed unanimously on the floor of both houses. However, during the interim, there was a Court of Appeals case dealing with AT&T, totally unrelated to that language or those situations, but there was some concern on the part of the regulators that there may be an interpretation that that AT&T court decision may interplay with the statute that was passed last year, and that in fact we would have to be filing tariffs or file on tariff the pricing for each individual contract that we would negotiate with a business customer that had more than four lines. Is what this does is clarify that we do not have to file a tariff for each or pricing for each contract that we sign with a customer that has four or more business lines. We do keep those contracts, and they are available whenever the Department or the Commission wants to look at them. We will make them available to the regulators. Both the Department and the Commission are not opposing this clarification.
And to my knowledge, Mr. Chair, there's no one opposing this. It's really just technical cleanup from that bill that we all passed out of here and floor last year.
Very good. Members, discussion or questions to the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
Now, Mr. Chair, I have the A2 amendment I'd least like to put before the committee, and before there's any vote or anything, I'd bring down A2.
Aye.
Or I'd bring down Quest to explain this one.
Welcome, Mr. Schreiner.
And if you have that amendment, did you get it handed out?
Yes. Okay. Representative Junkie moves Amendment A2 before the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Andy Schreiner. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for Quest. The amendment you have before you is very simple. It allows a carrier like Quest or another telephone company that has an agreement with a long-distance reseller to disconnect service once the reseller, if the reseller becomes behind in paying its bills. Our relationship with those folks is could then revert to the contract that we have with that reseller. Currently, we have to go through the process of going to the commission and seeking commission approval to disconnect. Sometimes that can be a lengthy process, during which time the reseller that's behind on their bills just adds more bad debt, and we're not able to collect the bad debt. The statute was developed or created a number of years ago when there weren't a lot of long-distance providers in the market. Today, I think by our estimate, there are over 100, maybe 150 resellers out there. So end users won't be harmed because they'll be able to quickly shift to another provider. A lot of end users are now using wireless phones for long distance as well. So as my understanding is that Minnesota is only one of 14 states that require this process for disconnection of resellers.
Very good. Any questions for Mr. Schreiner at this point? And we have some testimony, I think, in the audience from the PUC. If you want to come forward and welcome, and if you'd identify yourself, Mr. Overlander.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Mark Oberlander. I'm the telecommunications manager at the Public Utilities Commission. And I just wanted to mention this morning that this is really a policy decision that you are being asked to make this morning. Quest has sponsored this legislation seeking the ability to disconnect long-distance carriers without having that action reviewed by the Public Utilities Commission. And I think they offered the example that sometimes the other carrier falls behind in their bills to Quest, and that is certainly true. And in any situation like this, there are two sides to the story. Sometimes the carrier that falls behind simply has run into a bad set of business conditions and is unable to pay their bills. Other times the bill may be disputed or there may be some confusion regarding the actual amount owed. So I just wanted to mention that there are two sides to this story. But as I understand it, the intent of this language is to say that it is permissible for Quest to disconnect the long-distance providers who have specific and limited authority to resell long-distance service. In order to operate in the state of Minnesota, carriers are required to get a certificate of authority from the Public Utilities Commission. There is a specific category of legal authority that is granted by the PUC that is local resale authority. And if this law only, if it would be approved by you and the full legislature, this law would only apply to carriers having that specific type of certificate of authority. We believe that this would be a reasonable and workable bill. And I'm available if there are any questions.
Representative Mason?
Okay, Mr. Chair, Mr. Oberlander, let me just review what I think this is. Okay, so somebody has to come before the PUC to get the authority to make this connection. But Quest, without coming before the PUC again, can sever that connection. And in the meantime, are we assured that Quest or whoever was, if the severed company was providing service to somebody, are those people notified about the disconnect prior to that then?
It's my understanding that Quest would be in contact with the other carrier, but I am not aware of how the other carrier would be in communication with their own customers. As I understand it, Quest believes that long distance is highly competitive, that there are multiple providers out there, but at this point we don't know how the disconnected carrier would communicate with their own customers or what those customers would do if their long distance service stopped working one morning.
Representative Mason?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Oberlander, isn't that a problem for the customers?
Mr. Chair and Representative, that's what I had in mind when I said this is a policy question that's being presented this morning.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, just to follow up, again, remember this is only long distance. The local exchange can be required to still be there, so you still have emergency services and other things. This happens quite often. In fact, I remember I hooked up some years ago with my local public utility as one of these type carriers over a Quest line, and they actually notified us. I assume they weren't making money and they were going in the red. You know, we just got a notice one day in our public utilities that starting next month we're not going to be carrying long distance anymore. So, you know, you either don't have it or find something else. I'll grant you that was limited notice, but certainly the other problem, Quest, and they can certainly come up and explain to them for themselves. But, you know, going through the PUC process sometimes takes some time, and if you do have a carrier who's milking the system and not paying the bills, Quest can be out quite a bit of money by providing that equipment and that line and that service to them with non-payment. You know, I we hope the PUC moves as quickly as possible, but we know that there are certain steps and meeting times and other things that, that pushes it down. And so it's a substantial loss to a company like Quest, certainly. And again, they can come back up if they want and speak for themselves, but the last thing they want to do is just cut it off. I assume before that ever happens, they've been working with this company. They want the business. They want the money. But it's simply they're not being paid for months and months, and they have to make a decision at some point to say enough's enough. And now they would have to go file and wait. And other states do have that ability. A lot of other states in the regulation, they allow carriers like Quest to simply do that on a business side.
Thank you.
Members, further questions? Mr. Oberlander?
Mr. Chair and representatives, if you wish to consider this further, it might be good to clarify the language slightly to indicate that it applies only to carriers who have local resale authority.
Very good. And did you have some suggested language on that, Mr. Oberlander?
Mr. Eliff might be writing as we speak.
Bob, do you have something? Mr. Eliff, do you have something in mind?
Not yet.
All right. While he's working on that, Representative Saylor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think my concern is for the customers. I keep hearing the word, we assume that they're going, you know, that the company will contact their customers. It sounds to me like I hear the word we assume quite a few times, and I'm really concerned for what would happen for those customers and that length of time, you know, of making sure that they're notified and that they have time to find another carrier, because sometimes, you know, a couple weeks really isn't a lot of time, and if people are, you know, out of town, if they're gone, they could return and find that they have no long-distance coverage. I'm concerned about what happens to the customers in a case like this.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Saylor.
Mr. Schreiner.
When this type of a situation develops, there are multiple communications between Quest and the long-distance reseller. We don't have contact with their customers. It's their responsibility to contact their customers and let their customers know that, you know, they may be going out of business or they may have to find an alternative provider. We have no way of being able to communicate with the customer.
Representative Saylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schreiner, yeah, I understand that you're having a lot of contact with the company, but if this company is, you know, such a bad actor, if you will, or having so much trouble, how are we to know that they're actually going to contact their customers?
Representative Duncan?
Well, Representative Saylor, the way it is now, there's no guarantee of contact with the customers. Now, the only thing that's happening is Quest has to file with PUC, continue to not be paid for a number of months. PUC then may say, okay, you are able to sever the connection, and they sever it the next day. So even in this case, if that's the case with the company, there's no communication to customers. It just takes a longer period of time. Granted, the PUC process is an open process. But
Mr. Oberlander had his finger up first.
Mr. Chair and representatives, the commission process for reviewing these situations goes something like this. Quest or another company files a petition to disconnect another carrier. In that petition, they usually state the reasons why they want to do that. Then the Public Utilities Commission asks the other company for their side of the story. And once we have that kind of information in the record, the commission decides what is the best way to proceed. And if disconnection is ultimately allowed, one of the things that the commission would address in that decision is how the disconnected carrier would notify its customers. So customer notification is one of the things that we consider when these matters come before the PUC.
Representative Hoppe?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not speaking on behalf of Quest either, or any other carrier. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know how frequently this occurs. But if I'm running a telecom business and I'm, you know, if the people that are reselling long-distance service are connecting through me, I don't want to ever disconnect anybody. I hope this never happens. I only make money when they're paying me to, use these services. So I would hope that this is a relatively rare event, and that I think Quest or any other phone company or any other company is going to give them every opportunity to try to get up to date, because they don't want to have to go out and try to find new customers and try to get hooked up with new long-distance resellers. So it's, I mean, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good amendment, and I don't think it is going to happen that frequently, and I think Quest would prefer to not ever have it have it happen at all. So for what it's worth.
Thank you, Representative Hoppe. Question for you, Mr. Overlander. How often do these situations arrive that we're talking about? Are we...
Mr. Chair and representatives, thinking of all the different types of petitions that petitions for disconnection that come in front of the PUC, a ballpark number might be 6 to 8 applications a year. At least that's been the recent history.
Representative Mason?
Just clarify, so the process that you just mentioned will be in, we're not doing away with that process, or is that what this bill is doing?
Mr. O'Brien?
Mr. Chair and representatives, it's my understanding that this bill is intended to do away with that process for certain carriers holding a certain certificate of authority.
Thank you.
Representative Beard?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Oberlander, I think I hear you speaking about, as I gather the gist, maybe leaving things in the status quo with going through the commission versus speeding things up. And I thought I heard the rationale being that you can order then the reseller to notify their customer that they're going to be disconnected and going out of business. Did I hear that correctly?
That is correct. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair and representatives. That is correct for disconnection cases that have come before the commission in the past, and for all kinds of disconnection cases you would permit to come in front of the commission in the future. Again, as I understand it, this bill would say certain types of disconnection cases would no longer have to come in front of the PUC.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Beard.
My question then is, in those cases where a company is so far behind the eight ball financially that they can't make their payments to their mainline carrier, do you find that they have enough money left in the bank to send out disconnection notices, or do they just pull the plug and go away, turn off the lights, party's over kind of thing? Knowing what mailing costs are, I'm trying to imagine a company that's that insolvent actually complying with your order, and if they don't comply, what's left for you to come and squeeze them on?
Mr. Overline?
Mr. Chair and representatives, I think what you've just described is the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. In many situations when a company runs into financial trouble, they will sell the company or merge or make arrangements for another carrier to take over. It's a very rare case where a company hangs on to the very last day and they have one employee and they turn out the lights. Mm-hmm. So most things get resolved before reaching that point.
Mr. Schreiner? I think, the experience that we have is that, we're not 90%, 95, 99% of our reseller customers are good customers. They pay their bills on time. What we're trying to deal with here are the exceptions to the problem. We're not going to have we will still have a process in place that they have agreed to in our wholesale contracts with them as far as disconnection. So there will be a process in place, a contractual relationship that will govern the terms of the disconnection. But we potentially can be out tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars as these companies sit back and don't pay their bills. And then by the time we get down to the commission, they are shut down. They're gone. And they may not have money to send a notice out to the customers. And under the current process, if they don't have the money to send out notice to their customers, there is no notice. The commission doesn't do it. we certainly wouldn't be the ones to do that. The business would.
Representative Depke?
Well, from what I understand of the situation, and this is really to Mr. Obermiller, based on Representative Beard's question to you, and Mr. Schreiner's comments about 90-95% of the customers, maybe the 6 to 8 are those customers that you couldn't squeeze anyway. And maybe that's what this bill is addressing. And if it means tens of thousands of dollars to Quest and other companies like him, that it seems to me that particularly in these times it would be beneficial to not charge this extra amount of money on the back of someone like Quest, that and if 98% or 95% are already in compliant and are combining with other large companies and have the ability to communicate with their customers, I don't really see that this amendment is doing a lot of harm, and particularly in these times, the person that's suffering is really Quest and some of these other companies that are doing the right thing.
And Mr. Chair, again, the commission does agree that this language is okay, perhaps with a tweak, and so they are acquiescing. Again, this only applies to certain customers of Quest. And by the way, Quest isn't the only one. We could probably nod our heads back here and get other similar companies down here to state they have similar problems. So Quest just is gracious enough to come up here and testify today, but it's not unique to them. And I think, as you've heard, Quest and others will tell you, you know, by the time a company gets to a point of non-payment, they're disconnecting before they ever get to the PUC on an order type situation. And I think Representative Depke's right. That's probably those half dozen or so you see come through. You know, a lot of those are just gone. And so, and again, remember, you're going to get a dial tone. You know, if that's an essential service, you'll still, what probably will happen, I'm guessing, and I'm just guessing now, is that you try to dial long distance, you don't get it, you'll probably call your Quest dial tone in this case and say, how come I don't have long distance? And they'll say, your carrier has been disconnected, they're no longer in business, do you want to hook up with someone else? And, you know, you will quickly get that restored. And frankly, most people, unfortunately, and probably one of the reasons these companies are going out of business, don't use this for long distance anymore. They use their cell phones or voice over internet or something else, and so it's not a problem, and growingly so for most people, this would not be a problem.
Very good. Members, any further comment, questions on the
Mr. Eloff, that we could talk about?
Mr. Eloff?
Mr. Chair, Representative Junkie, frankly, I'd prefer to do this at Commerce Committee. I'd like to confer more with Mr. Oberlander about this language.
We can do that as we work forward with the PUC and the carriers.
Very good. So if the amendment goes on, we'll come up with some language between now and Commerce and Labor to deal with it. Yes, Representative Kipan?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, in listening to this, my bigger concern was not so much their immediate availability for long distance, but emergencies. When they still have their local carrier, that 911 works, their emergency systems work, all of their neighborhoods work, their local grocery store, whatever else they want to do, I think to me that is the greatest degree of interest, because long distance is usually a non-emergent alternative and they have time to work with it. So I would hope that we can come up with something here, because I think you satisfactorily addressed the issue of emergency needs being met, and that is okay.
Very good. Any further comments, questions on the A2 amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendments adopted.
That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Any further comments, questions? Representative Junkie renews his motion that House File 3097 as amended be recommended to pass to Commerce and Labor. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Congratulations, Representative Junkie. Members, just a way of information for next week. There's one bill that's still on the Senate side that we possibly might consider. If we did, we'd hear it earlier in the week. We won't be meeting next Friday, so we can plan accordingly. But we'll keep you posted on whether we'll be taking a look at a bill earlier in the week or not. But Friday we will not be meeting. So have a good weekend. With that, meeting's adjourned.